And so we begin Perek Shlishi after our introduction. And the truth is that Perek Shlishi is artificially interrupted by the Goyim at Perek Revi'i, where Perek Revi'i should really begin at the Stuma of Vayomer Hashem. But we'll keep going, hopefully. Vayi Devar Adonai El Yonah Shenit Lemor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Yonah once again. And the Gemara understands that Shenit means not once again. It means literally Shenit, the second time. And Yonah was punished, and that he never spoke to him again. Shenit Velo Shlishit. Tos says the obvious question. I mean, that's crazy, because in the book itself, it says that he spoke to him again. I mean, that's a whole discussion coming up. So Tos says, look, the Gemara asks the Kasha about the Nevi'ahs that was given. It attributes the Nevi'ahs to Yerovam, to Kidvar Hashem in the mouth of Yonah ben Amittai. So there must have been another Nevi'ahs anyway. So with one man, the Gemara answers that Be'inyan Ninveh, he wasn't, once again, didn't give him another Nevi'ah. But other Inyanim, he gave him Nevi'ah. Tosus answers that the discussion later on had nothing to do with Nineveh. Remarkable.
Person.
It was personal. Doesn't say he never spoke to him personally again. Didn't speak to him about Nineveh again. That itself, Lamais, is a tremendous Kiddush, because as we're going to see, we already saw really that Nahum refers to the Vias of Nineveh. And that because...
Everybody here?
I think you could leave it open. There's a very, very stark Abarbanel on this. He takes it very, very strongly. And the Malbim asks a lot of kasha in Abarbanel because it's not so partial. But anyway, but according to Tosfos, we need to keep in mind that that means that the end of, according to Tosfos, the end of the Navi Yonah is not about Nineveh. Which means that Yonah is not about Nineveh. Yonah is about Yonah. And that means the way in which we look at this, taking Nineveh as a description of tshuva and so on, is not really true. It's that the Gilui comes through the problems that Yonah raises, and the fact that despite those problems, we see the tshuva of Nineveh in the light of those problems. And I think that's very important. I mean, obviously, Tosfos is taking that into consideration. If Lamaisa, this was a description of the continued Nevi'ahs, then it was certainly a separate Dibur that would have to do with Nineveh. So you see that there's a different topic over here. The Abarbanel speaks out some very strong words. He says, Baruch Shebachar B'divrayim Ma'am Kuro She'em Shalonafal Mikol Divrayim Arza. And that was that it says, and this was a medrash that we mentioned before, the Mechilta, that Yonah tavak vod ha-bein, velo tavak vod ha-av. That since Yonah was more matpid on the covet of Klal Yisrael than on the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his acceptance of tshuva, he was more matpid that Hashem should be angry at Klal Yisrael. And in this, he was the opposite of Eliyahu. So he's trying to be the tikkun of Eliyahu. Well, Yo was Tovea only the covered Av and not the covered Abin. And that's why, in fact, as we mentioned in the introduction, that's why Yonah was born. Was out of that change. So be Haya on Sho, says the Abarbanel, Sheba'a Elava Nevoa Shenit Velo Shlishit. Now, little kids will think, Kvayachshovech Ad Ben Abachurim, Aman Yanin, that's a Derech Drash. Doesn't mean very much. Just because it's a shenid, it doesn't mean it's a shlishit. But, says the Barmanel, you take a look and you'll find in Seder Elam that the Meshicha of Yehu ben Nimshi by Yonah was in the year Shloshet Alafim V'samach Beit L'Yitzira. We know that Yonah continued till the time of Zechariah, and that was basically, we find that he He lived until Shloshet Alafim Kuf Samar Dalet, which means that after Yonah began his Nevi'ut, he lived over 100 years, 102 years with this Cheshbon. And the fact, says the Abar Menachem, Yashar lo matzino lo nevoah acheret b'chol hazman haravahu, ki b'shtei hanevoot ha'ela sh'nevea minvei. Yadanu sh'nechtola mimenu hanevoah b'shvil davar zeh. It doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't we have another Nevi'ut from him? V'ra'ui haya le'anesh kach. That's why they said Shenit Nemralo, Shlishit Lo Nemralo. Because after all, Ein Kilut Benoten Yit Barach, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu stingy with the Ruach and the Viut that he gave? It's the Mekabel, it was a Monea Atov Miatzmo. So, but Rabbanel takes this very seriously. Lamaisa, the one place where it's fascinating that we would have expected would have been, as the Medrash identifies, 40 years later, Nineveh was worse off than it had been originally. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu let off Nineveh for 40 years, connected the Arboim Yom that he said, at Ninve mitapechet, and because of that, the change. So for 40 years, they survived. At the end of those 40 years, they ended up worse than they were in the beginning, which is, of course, what Yonah was saying all along, is that he doesn't take this whole thing very seriously. You would have thought that if anybody is the one that should be talking about Masa Ninve, it would be Yonah. Obviously, that was a rebuilt Ninve and so on, but Ninve really was, according to the Medrash, Mitapechet 40 years later, rebuilt once again by Ashur and becoming a center of power. But Lamaisa, he wasn't involved, apparently, in that later. Nachum refers to what it was that Yonah had said back in the beginning, not what he says later, and that's a little shocking. Because he had started the whole Ma'amar of dealing with Nineveh. And this is what he was waiting for, was the actual destruction, and that wasn't given to him to speak about. So when you say B'inyan Ninveh, it's not a small thing. It's a major thing.
Like an unfinished mitzvah, an unfinished story. Yeah. He wasn't given.
There was no closure. It's very shocking in that sense. So that you would have expected that he was the one that would be zeichet. I mean, Adarabba, Kadosh Baruch Hu refused to speak to him about it for again. Kum lech el Nineveh ha'ir ha'gidolah. And of course, this becomes the raya that we need to know all the way back in the beginning of Bereshis. En yodeh kalach is the ir ha'gidolah. Nineveh is the ir ha'gidolah. It's not clear. And from here we bring a raya that Nineveh was the original ir ha'gidolah, which is mentioned in Bereshis, which is, wow, that's pretty amazing. But we've already noted that Nineveh being that city makes a great deal of sense, because they were the ones who had run away from Nimrod, according to Rashi's Pshat and the Medrash's Pshat. They didn't want to be involved in the Merida Keneged Hashem. And so too, that's exactly what it was that Yonah was doing the opposite of. Now, it's very, very possible that the Ir HaGedolah over here, as we're going to see the next pasuk, the Ir HaGedolah relates back to that Ir HaGedolah in terms of Ma'aseh Bereishis particularly, in the story in Bereishis, and that it was part of the nature of the tshuva that they were Isaac in. So it says here, go to Nineveh, the Ir HaGedolah. Why did he have to identify it as the Ir HaGedolah at that point? I mean, was there any Suffolk? Was there a small Nineveh? You know, no, I don't mean the Nineveh, you know, in Minnesota. I mean the big Nineveh. I mean, it's usually when we have that kind of thing, we make a drasha, you know? Chicago. So first of all, he's not Megalatim the Kriya. I am going to tell you what the Kriya is. It's very similar to by Avram Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him, you go El Aretz Asher Arekam. I'm not telling you what that is. So that means that there was an element at this point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yonah to go blindly into the very thing that he was so against initially. and it wasn't clear what he was going to have to do, and he needed to be mekabel on himself. Whatever it is, that's what I'm going to do. And that was part of the tikkun of his bricha. So, indeed, vayokom Yona, you remember that word vayokom back at the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, yet Ninveh is an unincorporated community in Ninveh Township, Johnson County, Indiana. So we need to know Ninveh Ha'ir HaGdola, right, and not that Ninveh.
In Chicago, the butcher shop of the Syrian community is called Ninveh. Okay. Next to Tells.
Next to Barnea's neighborhood. So, here at last, he's Mekayim, the original Kima, and he's going to be Kere, the Kriya, to Ninveh. Originally, Kum Lech El Ninveh, Kray Leha, doesn't say what Kray Leha. And indeed, we mentioned over there that maybe that's why it wasn't considered to be being Kovish and Avias, because it didn't even say, I will tell you, just as Kray Leha, which one could understand, some of them of Arshim learned, one could understand that indeed it was basically a Musar, Kray Leha, you know, call out and tell them they're bad. And they're... But what's amazing is, we only find out what the Kriya was afterwards, right? And what is that Kriya? The exact opposite. The Kriya lacks any message at all, except for Od Arba'im Yom Ninveh Ne'epechet. Whoever heard of such a thing? That a Navi should be sent and should not have a message. I don't have a message. Are we good people? Are we bad people? I wasn't told. I was told another 40 days and it's all over. What kind of funny thing is that? Usually a Navi identifies what the problem is. That's got to be central in understanding the response of Ninveh, right?
It makes it in the
Let's see. There are some who say that. There's some Utaina that therefore you can't say that that's included in the general klal that a Navi's Navi's Lira is always al Tanai, because over there was no Tanai. It was said straight out. So if it would have come in the context of the Anashim Ra'im and because of your Ra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, so because of the Ra, we could do Tshuva, but it didn't say that. It just said, like a natural phenomenon. The earthquake is coming in.
As a message to Noah. It's
similar, no? No, there it says he was supposed to talk to them for 120 years and be married them to Tshuva. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it off for 120 years. So over there, obviously something else was going on. But over here it says, Asher Omar Eila. The Chorah we're supposed to know from here. Okay, let's take a look. So, Vayokom Yona, he gets up. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kum, gets up. Vayelech El Ninveh Kedvar Hashem. And he goes, according to his tzivui. And again it repeats, Ninveh Hayta Ir Gedola Le'Elohim. And what is Ir Gedola Le'Elohim supposed to be? It was so large that it took 3 days. 3 days to walk through a city. Remember, we just had the Sunya Pesachim, how much a person walks. I mean, it's ridiculous. Walk through a city 3 days means if a normal person walks 40 parsot, that's how you're talking about 120 parsot.
The whole
Mitzrayim
is only 400 by 400.
Hmm? 40 mil, I'm sorry, 9%. But so what? It's 120 kilometers? 120 kilometers. So the Ebenezer learns it means its circumference was 120. It was also gigantic. Well, at least it's not that insane. Hmm? It doesn't strike us that that's so large, but I mean, that is a big, that's a big, very big metropolitan area, even by modern standards. 3 days, 120 kilometers. That's a major city. The population, according to what's given over here, was low. For its time, I mean, that's a large city, you know. But, and indeed, because it says it's a year ago, it makes it sound like it's so enormous. And there's a medrash that's brought that 120,000 figure, that was in one shuk, of which there were you know, 144 such shvakim, and so on and so forth. But obviously, that's not the Pashas. So what does Yigdal El Elohim mean? So Kevin Ezra suggests that Yigdal El Elohim implies that once upon a time, this was a city that was very godly. It was a godlike city. It's a spiritual center. And they had recently sunk into business malpractices and other types of things. It's interesting, we don't find anything about Avodah Zorah in Nineveh. There's no mention of not Shuva from Avodah Zorah. Everything else talks about, doesn't say they burned down any churches. But the mashmaut is that there was not a problem of Avodah Zorah at all in Nineveh, which is remarkable. In which case, that may be the meaning. That Nineveh, it doesn't say it, but it must be that it was there, and that's why it wasn't really true. And that's why Yonah was said. But Lamaisa, we don't hear anything about Avodah Zorah Bingage and Nineveh. It speaks very much in the Gemara, in great detail, in the Pusik, it's Merames, Mina Oshek, Asher B'yadeh. Talks about what it is that they had stolen. Bad business practices. We'll talk through the Gemara when we go ahead a little bit. So the mashmaut, when you see Yigdal El Elohim, may well be exactly that. This was a city that, because they were not Esek and Avodah Zorah, did not have any types of emunot felot that could protect them from understanding what was being said. And perhaps that's nogea, the strange response that they have, which in posik hey becomes vayaminu anshei Nineveh be'Elohim. I mean, all of a sudden, vayaminu anshei, I mean, this is vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. I mean, but this vayaminu, all they hear is one word from him, you know. Odar boim yomi walks in one day, vayachal Yonah, which of course the same lashon we find by Noach, we're talking about vayachal Noach after he gets out of the table. Vayachal Yonah lavo ba'ir ma'alach yom echad. So he goes one third of the way into town, so he gets to downtown, I guess. So like the middle. I think the middle third was the settled area. And that's when he starts his message, because it wouldn't be very fair to start a 40-day countdown at the outskirts of the town. I mean, who's going to hear me? So he goes in, Vayakam, that's when he begins. So he's being fair. Vayikra, Vayomar, Od Arbaim Yom, V'ninvei Ne'epachet. Now that Lashon Ne'epachet, we know, Kimahapechat Sedom V'amora, right? It's a very evocative word, which may have touched them in that way, because the last time that word was used in this way was that it's going to mean absolute and total wipeout. The thing will be completely twisted around. However, the Gemara Sanhedrin points out that there's something wrong about the fact that Yonah apparently was never told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the tshuva of Nineveh was accepted. And the whole answer, the Gemara has problems with various levias that were changed in the middle, and it says that you have a right to be semif, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell you otherwise, then if you're a Navi, then that means that you don't have to worry about the change, because if there would have been a change, lo yasa Hashem lakim davar ki gila sodo, asks the Gemara. But Yonah wasn't told anything. What was Yonah told? Answers the Gemara an amazing thing. That the reason that he used the Lashon of Nineveh Ne'epachet is because it has a double meaning. All he was saying is, there is going to be a revolution in this city. Now, of course, that revolution could be Letova. Maybe there will be Ma'apechet Ma'aseim. Or it will be Ne'epachet through divine intervention and be wiped out. But it was clear that it had a double meaning, and they immediately take, apparently, the double meaning, because they maybe we could be Yotzei the Ne'epechet by being Ma'apechar Ma'asim.
What we do in Sukkot.
Right? What do you mean? Now just to be Yotzei?
To be Yotzei
the Golas? Vayaminu Anshei Nineveh. There's something to be said for that. We'll see. Vayaminu Anshei Nineveh be'Elohim. They believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayikru Tzom. So far, most of the Mephoshim understand Kipshuto. That so far, the Melech hasn't even heard about it, because I mean, it's the people, it's an immediate reaction of the people. I mean, afterward, the king hears about it. Then he spreads out, promulgates the law that you have to do tshuva. But apparently, this was something that came spontaneously from the people because they heard. I mean, it's unbelievable. Everybody asks, well, what's going on around here? And as I mentioned to you earlier, those before Shabbos say, it must be that the sailors that were on the boat had come to Nineveh and they told them over the whole story. So they were like, everybody was amazed with this incredible story. And now the guy shows up, they put two and two together. Oh my God, that's the guy who was running away. Now he's here. Look what happened. We better do something about it. But Lamaisa, as we pointed out there, many of the Farsha point out too, that's how the Medrash says they went to Yerushalayim. And there's Sham Yizbuch Zifrit Tzedek, and that was where they brought their families, and that's where they were Megayer, and they brought Karbonis as Gerim, and so on. Not in any way, it doesn't say anything of the sort. Obviously, the Pusik doesn't expect us to create some type of artificial mechanism that isn't mentioned. It's not a good approach to say a pshat like that. In principle, it's a very bad approach. Just make up something and say, that must be. We're given sufficient information in the pasuk that we're supposed to understand what the Navi is telling us. And therefore, lichora, the relationship of this Elohim, in the previous pasuk to this pasuk has got to be meaningful. In other words, when we say that it was an ir gedolah l'Elohim, and we say the amino and chenin vebe Elohim, the Ebenezer takes it to mean literally that it was a very spiritual city. Those who argue with them, Taina, well, where do we ever see that Nineveh was considered to be a spiritual center? I mean, that you make up such a thing, that that's the meaning of Elohim. I mean, oftentimes when we refer to something that is extraordinarily powerful, we talk about Harare El, for instance. What is that supposed to mean? Enormously powerful. Or Ir Gdolah L'Elokim would mean such an immense gilui of the power of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the world. Of, it would be like saying the crying out of the great achievement of creation that could build a place like New York. I mean, that's an amazing thing. Perhaps there's things that will come out later, including perhaps, as some suggest, that it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since he viewed it as an Ir Gedolah, so that's why he was going to be chas on it. Which indeed he says later on. I mean, how am I not supposed to care about a city of this size with so many people? So Ir Gedolah L'Elokim would mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu related to it as a very particular kind of place in need of rachamim. Okay. In Kabbalah Unikabel, it certainly seems to be far more of a hint to us and an introduction about what is going on in Nineveh, and not why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chas on Nineveh that we don't yet know at all. So what's striking to us is the fact that Vayamino Anshei Nineveh Be'Elokim, that has nothing to do with truth. Vayamino Anshei Nineveh Be'Elokim is what they are. It's what they do with that. That's the tshuva afterwards, the Vayikru Tzom, Vayobashu Sakin. Correct? It's not that they realize we better believe. So we know the Medrash. The Medrash is that this indeed is a playoff on Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdo. Because the Melech of Nineveh was none other than Paro Melech Mitzrayim, who had seen Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdo, and who had called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Yam and said, I believe in you, Anachto Hashem, Hashem Atzadik, the same words that we see in the Parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Rosha, Etmol Amarta, Mi Hashem Asher Shema Bekolo. Now all of a sudden it's all about Hashem Atzadik. So, nonetheless, we dash in the Pasuk, Bavur Zeh Emadeticha, I have allowed you to survive this. Bavur Tisaper Chavodi. So where was it? The Saper Chavadi? The Saper Chavadi was in Nineveh. So because everyone in Nineveh was aware of Paro, what he had gone through, and that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that things are going to be turned upside down, man, oh man, that could mean everybody in the Yam, and turn them around like in a bowl of soup, and like the Medrash compares it to, whip up all the mitzvahim. They didn't like that imagery at all. And having a king that had told them over of these things in the past, they were not going to take any chance.
Asher Benefel uses that visual imagery on the destruction of the army of Elam. They're all in the sea and just like in turmoil.
Okay, beautiful.
Well, why does it use Elohim instead of
Yud-Kei? Oh, that's also, so the Pashtus is that Elohim is Midas Hadin, and indeed the Midrashim say Ashrayim Sadikim, that they're or Kamagodol Godol Koyach Hatshuva, different Midrashim that are Mahapich Midas Hadin to Midas Rachamim, because here was all along was Elohim. Elohim is always Midas Hadin, and nonetheless, in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Chas Aliyah. But the Pashtus is, of course, that the Shem Yudke Vovke does not relate to Goyim. The Shem Yudke Vovke is a relationship to Yisrael. Shmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. That's part of the whole concept of the nemonis of the Shmi Hashem. And because of that, to Goyim, Goyim talk about God. God is Elohim, the powers that be. So that's Elohei Nechar Haaretz. And that's the way they speak about, that's the way the Kutim speak about. It's because we don't know the gods of the land. There's no Hakora, that there's some kind of super god, so to speak, of which existence gives birth to everything else. So that's the Parshas. Again, that's very important in understanding the whole idea of Yonah's relationship to the Goyim. We'll get to that as well. So it's an important nekudah.
But they believe in Tshuva.
Right. Yes, they believe in Tshuva. Now, what? That's our problem. Because if Yonah knew that that was going to be the whole idea, then that's the whole idea in the first place. And then we don't understand why he starts going crazy in the next parak and feels that this is a disaster. And so, okay, maybe that's the idea. So, Vayiga davar melech Ninveh, Vayakum mikiso, he gets off of his throne. And Vayavera Dartomi Alave, beautiful begodim, he takes off his big day malchus. And Vayachasak, Vayeshev ala Efer, the exact opposite of the Kvod Malchus, is Machnia himself entirely. Vayazek, and he sends out promulgated with who knows, Vayazek means there were trumpeters and there were people that were announcing this loudly. Vayomer beninvei mitam hamelech gdolah, so that it was, before Shem learned that this was what it said. In other words, this is, the melech is hereby mitzava. And the court, the Supreme Court, is mitzava, and so on. So the king and the cabinet, not that people knew it was HaMelech, mitam HaMelech, but that this is what it said. Mitam HaMelech gdolav, ha'adam va'abehima, ha'bakar va'atzon, ha'yitamu me'uma, ha'yir'u umayim ha'yishtu. So the behima, which is in your barns, and your, the bakar and the tzon, which are out there in the fields, you don't feed them. They're not to be allowed to pasture. They're not to be allowed to go to water. And they even covered the important people and the important animals. The Medrash is a reference to the animals of the Malchus, which are dressed. They're usually dressed in beautiful, the horses are going, but they're beautiful clothing, royal clothing, so to speak, covered with them. Instead, they put on sack, just like the melech. Vayikru el Elohim b'chuska, and they cried out to the Lord strongly. Vayashuvu ish midarko hara'ah umin hechamas asher b'chapehin, and each person turned aside from his evil path and from the chamas which was in his hands. Now we know that. Wait till we first turn midday. So we know that this becomes a vision of tshuva, because the Gemara says that a zaken is supposed to, your maimed a zaken at a tainis, and he is supposed to darsh this pasuk. He's supposed to say, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, looked at Ninveh and he saw their tainis and he saw their sack. It says that he saw the tshuva, that Yishmi Darkora, Minachamat Hashem Bekapayem, as the pasuk continues on to say, at the end, Vayarolim et Maaseyem, Kishavu Midar Kamaraya, God sees the way that they acted out. And okay, this becomes now a symbol of teshuva. Now, what's remarkable is that this symbol of tshuva is devastating to Yonah for some reason, despite the fact that this is what he wanted. And he understood that he was going for, and he had been mekabelit. And this is the question that we raised initially before we even began this parak. What in the world is going on? What changed in his vision that now, when they say miyodea, there's different meanings to miyodea. Rashi's miyodea means people who know the averis that only they know about their own hearts. Miyodea, others learn miyodea. This was all in the cruise that was announced. Miyodea, those who know darkei atshuva. Do the darkei atshuva. Miyodea is also miyodea late kazot gata malchut. Miyodea, who knows, there's always a chance that Yashuv v'nichamo Elohim, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will change his mind. We said before, that's what the Goyim said to Yonah, Ula yita sheta Elohim, and Rashi uses that lashon, yita sheta l'ra'a. So the yinachim is yita sheta. And there's no question that he only uses that word, because that's the word that we began with, the way that the Goyim are viewing the possibilities of Hatzalah. Well, he doesn't usually say that Yinachem means Yit Hashem. It's got to be that it's a reference back to the word that the sailors use, that the captain uses, Yit Hashem to Elohim. So all of this is basically on the level, is what Rashi is telling us with that word, is on the level of the way a goy would view the entire process.
In that playing field.
Exactly. And so Vayar Elohim et Maaseyim Kishavu Midar Kamara. Now the question is whether the getter of teshuva as a complete tikkun and so on is even something that is given to God. There are many who say that the kayach of teshuva as a talich that and so on and so forth, that's a unique gift to Yisrael. Obviously there are madregas of teshuva that are given to all. That we know from the Rambam, and we'll talk about that. So in any event, you know that the Gemara says that there are four things that are able to be korea gzardin or shalala. And what are those four things? Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, tzedakah, tzedakah, shinui Hashem, and shinui ma'aseh. How do we know shinui ma'aseh? We know shinui ma'aseh from vayarli with ma'aseh. Now, to say that there are three things, Shuni Maaseh, it could be that this is the Makar in the Mavzer of saying. We basically talk about Tzaka, Tzedaka, and Tshuva. Tshuva Tfila Vitzedaka. It doesn't say Tshuva, it says Shuni Maaseh. It talks about changing the Gzar Din or Shalada. But Pashtas, it doesn't mean Tshuva on the way that we generally talk about it. In which case, if we're using this darga of shinui maisa as something which is mahapik gzar dinai shel adam on the madrega of tzedakah and tzedakah, bepashtus, it is not teshuva that is required. In other words, tzedakah is not teshuva. As the Rambam says, tzedakah is midarkei atshuva. Shinui Hashem is not teshuva. As the Rambam says, shinui Hashem is midarkei atshuva. All of this is in the second part. Shinui Maaseh is not teshuva, as the Rambam says in the second paragraph. Umeshane Maaseh Kulam Mitzat Tovah. But that's not teshuva. That's midarkei teshuva. Because after all, teshuva is not about the future. Teshuva is about the past. So the fact that somebody changes his whole life and is now, which people mistakenly call Baal Teshuva, is really irrelevant to teshuva. It's just darkei teshuva. And it's part of human growth that hopefully will allow a person ultimately to address his past. And as we saw very clearly, the idea of addressing your past is something that may take many years, perhaps a lifetime. of asiyas teshuva, which only then can lead to something that has to do with actually being shav mitato. To be shav midarkam hara'a is not necessarily to be shav midarkam. To be shav mitato. Because to be shav midarko means to choose a different dara. To be shav mitato means to deal with the chet itself, not the... not what it was.
This is not azivat
chet. I'm suggesting that the Shinui Maisa, because the Rambam brings the Gemara lahalocha, and the Rambam paskins lahalocha, that this is not the Shuvah. It's called midarkei teshuvah, means that it's the way that a Baal teshuvah will be noheg, but more importantly, it's something that leads to teshuvah. It's the kind of thing. In the same way that Tzaaka and the Tshuva of Tzaaka on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we're talking about the Aseres Yemei Teshuva as being something in which Dirshu Hashem Bihim Matzao, which is irrelevant to Kapara. And Kapara is central to the idea of Shuva Micheto. That this is a reference to something else. It's a reference to elements of Tshuva, in exactly the same way that the tshuva that we speak about on Yom HaKippurim is mechayev a completely different vidui rather than the vidui of shav mecheto, and it's mechayev a vidui of recognizing one's mistakes. You know, we're no longer saying tzadikim anachnu velo chatan. We're saying chatan. To achieve that on Rosh Hashanah, one needs nothing. There's no great hachana, there's no great new understanding. There is the hisayrus. And the hisayrus of the shofar, hayi taka shofar beir va'am lo yecheradu, is what? Why would the am be yecheradu? Because the shofar is necessarily sounds of war? Because the shofar is necessarily means that the bombs are about to be unloaded? It's an air raid siren? Or because of, as the Rambam says, Klomar Uri Yesheni Mishinatchen. And that Uri Yesheni Mishinatchen means a very fascinating thing. What it means is, very clearly, that it does not take much for people to recognize that they are idiots. Why? Because, again, remember that the Zohar's take on the entire thing is a metaphor for the disaster of the human penchant for escapism. And the desperation of escapism and the unwillingness to face reality means that in order to achieve escape, we need to put in an immense amount of work. Yonah, in order to escape, needed to be willing to risk his life to escape. Any human being who seeks escape recognizes that it's at the cost of his life. He knows that it's at the cost of his life, and it's worth it for him. But only so long as it's efficacious. The moment that it becomes clear to him that this is not going to work and it's going to actually lead me to disaster, it doesn't take very much to wake him up, because he knew all along that he was escaping. Everybody knows that they're escaping, which is the reason that escape is so desperate. It's the reason that, as the Zohar says, it's the reason if you wake up in the middle of the night, it's horrific. Because what am I going to do now? I got to think about myself. God help us. And that's the test. You wake up in the middle of the night, so now you're not busy. So what do you think about it? Do you go turn on your TV? Or do you open a safe? Or do you do teshuva? What do you do? Because now you can't say, I'm very busy, I'm tired, you have insomnia. For God's sake, a curse, the biggest curse in the world. Sleeping pills, anything. Knock me out, help! This is the last thing that I can tolerate. And that, of course, is exactly the Lashon HaRambam. Uru Yesheni Mishanatchem, wake up. So apparently, it does not take anything to wake people up. And Yonah knew it would not take anything to wake Nineveh up, because of its being a place where they did not have a religion. And since they didn't have a religion, they had nothing to escape to. The best escape is religion. Right? Always, the best escape is religion. So, if there's a problem, there's always God's grace. Okay, God, but I'm really good inside. Yes, of course, Joe, you're fine. I would never hurt you. I am a merciful God. Would I hurt little children? Blah, blah, blah. Right? So if you have religion, there's never anything to worry about. It's only the people who have an Elohim, they have to really worry. Because man, that's the reason that it's so involved in justice. I mean, it's a din and expression. That Elohim means that life is real. If life is real, then that means that my escape has consequences, and it's now or never. Either I face up to it or I don't. So basically, the Kriya is the Tkiya Shofar, and then we find that in the Navi, the Haram Eskol of a Navi is compared to Tkiya Shofar. So if somebody like Yonah comes along, he doesn't even have to prove that he's a Navi to them. He doesn't have to give them a message. You see, there's no message. You are all Rishayim. You have horrible business practices. Take a look at the message of the Nevi'im to Klal Yisrael. It's all message. 90% of it is message. Then we have the description of the Churban that will come because of these Maisim. But it's never that this is the message I'm giving you. I am basically being ma'ir you to the real things.
So Yonah did what he was told, or did he cut it short, the message?
No, he did exactly what he was told. We never see that there's any time that he didn't do what he was told. And that is precisely what bothers him, apparently.
Is this the Mazel of the Goyim versus the Israel
and Mazel? No, I don't think it has to come to that. What he's saying is that the way we understood in the beginning is he said that Goyima Kurovei Tshuva, as the Mechilta says, and a number of different midrashim say, and that this would serve as a kitrug on Yisrael. We already saw that he gave up. That was the second parak, that he gave up on that. That Adarab, it's not a kitrug on Yisrael, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekabel, the human element of Teshuvah, is because everybody is Kurovei Tshuva. Not only Goyim, this Darga of Tshuva, Jews are also Krovei Tshuva. The problem is that they're too honest. So they're okay, wait, I'm going to suddenly turn around and I'm going to say I'll be a good boy. I'm not that stupid. Yes.
I wonder if Uri Shemin Shinat Chem applies not only to the obvious Tachtonim, but also to higher worlds. In other words, it's the connection that's important. And if the higher worlds are also...
What are higher worlds?
Wherever...
The Nivroyim in a higher world or humans?
No, not the humans. In other words,
the Bria.
Why is the Bria? I don't know. Malachim?
Yeah.
Why are Malachim asleep?
Well, in other words, it's not everything's fine there, but it's that we need help. In other words, it's a connection that's important.
Oh, no. No, because the whole Hemshech is. Yibitu l'nafshotechem, Chizru b'tshuva, Yimakir z'borachem. It's not a tefillah. No, it's a talking to your soul. So that means that the fundamental level of tshuva on Rosh Hashanah is Ninveh. When we come to Yom HaKippurim, we would expect to look the Ninveh. And that's exactly what it was that Yonah recognized. And it's exactly the result that he achieved. And it should be the most wonderful thing. He should be very happy. And instead he's absolutely miserable. He achieved what he set out to achieve. This became now the whole approach of the Rambam. And this is what we need on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And this is what we lay in on Yom Kippur. This is our transition into the Sukkah. And all of a sudden, he finds that it's a disaster. And we need to understand, why does he find it's a disaster? And there's a very interesting... The Gemara gives us... On the surface, there's a big machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi in how to view the tshuva of Ninveh. I don't believe it's really a machlokas. In other words, I think what the Bavli is doing is showing what elements of Ninveh we can incorporate in our Aveda, and the Yerushalmi is pointing out why it is that Yonah was upset. So the Bavli says that the fact that they ended up, what did they do over here? It says, the lashon of the pasuk is, that they, vayitkasu sakim, vayashuvu ish midarko hara'a, umena chamas asher bekapeyem. So what did they do? unbelievable things are listed in the Gemara, are listed in the Medrash, that they went through all of the books, every business deal, every purchase. If they found that there had been anything that was illicit, even if in a building they had incorporated one beam that had been stolen from somewhere, they did not allow you to pay for the beam. You had to tear down the building and restore. That's why it says, HaChamas Asher B'Kapeihem, means not the money, the Hamas itself. So if somebody had found a metzia and had never announced it, he had to go and find the person's heir. Even if what that person that he originally had found it, he found it 50 years ago, it was three generations later. They insisted in the courts that he had to go out and find the heirs of the person that it originally belonged to and return it. Unbelievable. And, it's amazing. If somebody bought a house, for instance, better show. Somebody bought a house and discovered money inside the house. So the Medrash says they had to go back 35 generations to see if they could trace where the money is. It's very interesting. Some of the Achronim make a cheshbon that from the Mabul until the story of Yonah in Nineveh is 35 generations. And that's why it says 35 generations. You can't go back any further than that. Which, of course, brings us Yonah all the way back to the Teva again, which is like we keep seeing him getting back again and again to the story of Noach itself. So they had to find out who owned that house, who had originally owned it, who had built it. And, I mean, there was an enormous amount of work that was put in to taking the Hamas Asher B'Kapeihem. Now, the Yerushalmi says, yes, Hamas Asher B'Kapeihem. Aha! But what about things that were not B'Kapeihem? What about things that were more subtle than that? What about things that couldn't be seen? They didn't do anything about that. They only went ahead and went to the Hamas Asher B'Kapeihem. And therefore, as Rish Lakish says, this whole thing was Rama'ut. Now, and that sounds as if the Rishami would have argued on the Bavli and say that, no, you do not appoint a Zokain to talk about Ninveh Adarab, but this was all Rama'ut. That very strong lotion of the Gemara is amazing. That Bechoska, Vayikru Elohim Bechoska. We learned the Pashto meaning, means very strong davening, right? But we know that the other meaning of the word b'choska is to take something by the power of force. B'choska. Right? So I use by force. So Reb Shimon ben Chalavta says, yes, that's exactly it. You know what? Because chutzpah is ma'ani afilu klapei shamayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people respond to chutzpah. Right? So it's always like that. Your grandfather was brilliant. Right? It's just chutzpah. You walk in and you're expected to talk about it, such and such a deal. What do you mean? What we're talking about the exact opposite deal, you know? What do you mean? But we've spoken for a month. I don't recognize anything we spoke about. So you feel right away, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to. It's like anybody when they tell you the exact opposite of what you're expecting, and they make it seem like it makes a lot of sense, and you'd be crazy to argue with them. Something goes wrong inside of you. It is very difficult for you to argue. So says the Yerushalmi, the same thing is true of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If these guys make such a fuss, so they take the behemoths. What are you taking behemoths for? The whole thing about them. The behemoths, of course, are very central to the story. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in the end, and of course, where was the place where the behemoths, Adam, Behemoth, Oshia, Hashem, were initially so important? In the Teva. That's where it all started. So that's the Adam, Behemoth. That's what we talk about in Sukkot as well. Okay, so they take the behemoth, and as the Gemara said, what did they do? Well, they first of all, it says that the pasuk, they didn't give them anything to eat, didn't give them anything to drink. But they separated the children from the mothers. They did this to the humans as well, and the kids are all crying because they're thirsty, and the mothers are going crazy because they want a nurse, and the animals are all whatever they're doing, mooing or neighing or whatever it is. The sound is deafening. Everybody's going crazy, and they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, you know, I mean, if you can't be merachem on us, why should we be merachem on the animals? Aren't you merachem on your world? What are you going to answer? So it's Vayizaku El Hashem Bechazka. Tainiz Reish Lakish. This is a Chuvash Rama Ut. What kind of thing is that? I mean, you put things into such a context that all of a sudden everything goes back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know. You're so mean and you're so cruel and it's all Holocaust and you know that this is what it's exactly what Avi Melech did, you know. They always know all of a sudden how to go all the way back and Taina and HaKadosh Baruch. So does that mean that the Bavli is Chaylik? No, I mean we're not. What we're saying is, what is our focus? Obviously there's elements of chutzpah, obviously there's elements of handling and manipulation, and this is not honest. Just because we said Vayar Elohim et Maaseihem, is Vayar Elohim et Maaseihem necessarily a great shevach? For instance, let me ask you something. When somebody stole a beam and put it into a building, is he supposed to tear down the building to give the beam back? No. It's a special takana derabanan called takanas morish that you are not allowed to sue someone for an extant thing that is going to cause him a loss. A ganav, you can't sue the ganav. You have to allow him to pay you. You can't say, well, too bad. You'll have to tear down your whole home. You can't say that. Not only that, but part of the takana, remarkably, is that if the ganav wants to return it, you're not allowed to accept it. In the kabbalim, amen. So, but pashtus, everybody says why? Because that makes doing tshuva so difficult. Because then people will feel, well, but I didn't really do tshuva. I should have torn down the house, and I can't do that. You know, forget it. I'll do tshuva some other year. And that's the simple story in the Gemara, that somebody was stolen, everything he had was stolen, and he tells his wife he wants to do tshuva. And his wife tells him, you idiot, you don't have a thing that you haven't stolen. You have to tear down every house you have. You have to throw out all your cars that have stolen parts. You can't do that. So he said, you're right, forget it. So when they heard that, they went ahead and they made the takanas morish, says the Gemara. But the fact that Ein Mekam, the fact, however, that we do find, by the way, do find somebody who did tear down his whole house. That was Haman who tore down his whole house because he had the Tevas Noach, the Morish from the Tevas Noach in his house, and he wanted to use that to hang Mordechai. It's very fascinating. That's the mio deo of yours. But anyway, that's a very sweet remez. But Lamaisa, the takanas morish, what it boils down also to, is that there are no simple solutions. In other words, the idea of being krovei tshuva, the initial responsiveness that a person has to tshuva, is to be mashana ma'asaf. But as we saw, Meshane Ma'asav Kulam is not really the tshuva. And the Rambam even says this in terms of returning things, because in the first paragraph where he talks about Kapara, it has to be accompanied by V'yashuv Milasot Kazot Olam. It's not enough to be Meshaleim and so on and so forth. It's very easy to be Meshane Ma'asav. It's not only that it's easy, it's that it doesn't begin touching on the process of Asiyas Tshuva. Because remember, the way we understand Asiyas Tshuva, La'alach, is penetrating to the underlying philosophical and psychological assumptions and pathways that lie behind a particular behavior. and recognizing that until such time as those issues are addressed, you are always going to end up back where you started. The only thing is that you'll end up there in much more pernicious ways than you did originally, because it won't be b'kapeim. It will have to be more hidden. And that's why we find that always Chazal attempt to identify the most idiotic nekudas in people, where they are hidden under layers and layers of self-righteousness and apparent tikkun, in order to bring out that nothing has really changed. So as you talk about the greatest gadol b'Yisrael, Yerava ben Nevat, saying, well, who's going to go first, me or David? Why is that ridiculous? Who's going to go first? Can't you at least pretend that you're not interested in who's going to go first? But the point is that, but that's what lies beneath it all. And whenever Chazal talk about a pasuk, well, it doesn't mean literally, but it means literally because it's the underlying nekuda. That's the point. Yes, of course. It's like what we can call everything I know I learned in kindergarten. It's that same idea. The issues are always the same issues. The kid that hid out in hide-and-go-seek until everybody got bored of finding him is exactly the kid that's not going to relate to people as an adult, and that thinks that in making himself greater and different than everybody, people will seek him out and so on. It's exactly the same psychological mechanism, and you've never dealt with the underlying issue that had come out when you were a child. So yes, Yerovam as a child would have said, so who goes first? But that didn't really change. That's the problem. So all teshuva is basically guaranteed to be meaningless unless it's really accompanied by the concept of azivas achet. Azivas achet is extremely difficult because we lie to ourselves. We always think that we won't do this again, but undoubtedly it will happen. It's just that I won't do it. In other words, we expect that the circumstances will be, I didn't mean it those, I'm not supposed to handle those circumstances. I can only handle, the circumstances that I'm used to handling. It's always a question of believing that ultimately my path was not really wrong. It's just wrong for other people. And God has no choice except to, talk to the world as a whole. Can't really change the whole world for me, but if he could have, certainly would have. But what can we do? There's all of these kind of rationalizations. And unless a person is actually Ozef Chetah, he focuses on the Shinui Maisa as a substitute for tshuva, not as a derech of tshuva. He thinks that in being Mishanes Masov, he's now addressed the issue. Whereas actually, what he's done is, he's managed to escape addressing the issue. So anyone feels wonderful after tearing down their house and giving back the marsh. My God, the whole world is talking about my tzidkus.
So they basically made a tofel instead of a vicar. We would have made that.
Exactly. They wanted to be Mishana. Same, that's what the Zakin says. It doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw their Ta'anit and their Tzaka. It says he saw their Ma'asim. So we take that to mean, that means it has to be really serious. But on another level, it means that, let's understand that there is something about teshuva that we will expect you to be Mishana Maisa and to recognize that that's the start of something, just as tzaka is the start of something, just as saying that we're not azeponim lomar tzadikim anachnu velo chatanu is the part. We never say we're not going to do it again on Yom Kippur. We never even say we're sorry. We say the flesh is weak. What are we supposed to do? It's your fault. Zohar should be Yisimahakev. You created the... That's chutzpah. It's not chutzpah to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, You take care of it, but it should not hurt. You know, you must have other ways to take care of this, right? That's not a chutzpah. You're claiming that you're doing tshuva, but I don't want any pain. No pain, no gain. Well, you know, you're not a gym teacher. You're God. You figure out how to do without gain. Well, pain. Right? It's exactly the same kind of chutzpah. So another one of the chutzpahs is the Gemara says. They said, well, your chas ala be'ema. Be'ema doesn't have any das. We're very stupid people. It's just be chasanas the way you're chasana be'ema. And in the end, the Kaddish Baruch Hu says that to Yonah. The stupid people. Enem Yonah is ben yamin am the small one. The big stupid is an answer. Shinui ma'aseh can often be a substitute for truth. It's meaningful when it's accompanied with Darkei HaTshuva, but not when it takes the place of Tshuva. Remarkably, where do we see this? Paro Melech Mitzrayim. So the Rambam dedicates an entire parak to describing why it is that Paro was not allowed to do Teshuva. Paro wanted to do Teshuva. He's aching to do teshuva. He's begging to do teshuva. We aren't letting him do teshuva. Again and again, he says, yes, please, they should leave. Everything's fine, go. Tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem HaTzadik, Aniv Amir HaShaim. And then magically, he's back exactly where he was before. I mean, what is he insane? Well, it's not that he's insane. It's that the darga of teshuva that he wanted to do, the Rambam explains, and oftentimes it's not understood what the Rambam is saying. So the Rambam explains, you're leaving us, Reb Barnea. We need you. We love you. Huh? The Rambam says like this. First of all, remember the incredible Rambam was Mechadesh. That Paro is the source of the concept of Paro, of Piraon, of playing pain back. So Puranut comes from the word Paro, actually. It's fascinating, right? There needs to be a payback for Maisim Roy. And it's Ra'ui that there should be a payback. So that acts should have consequences, not necessarily punishments, consequences. There's no consequences, there's no meaning to act. So it should be consequences. When do we say that there's consequences? I thought teshuvah was a tikkun for the Beis Yisrael. I understand. So what is he talking about? He's talking about a darga of teshuva that is engaged in order to avoid consequences. That's exactly what's going on over here, correct? Oh my God! What are we going to do? Let's be mahapech ninveh so that it doesn't mean the other nefechet. Okay. So then all that they're interested in is a tris lifnei apuranot. And that is entirely acceptable, says the Rambam. It is shayach and part of the dinim of tshuva, which has nothing to do with Yisrael. Because the examples that we bring are from Dafka, from Goyim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away that right to do teshuva, because you deserve it. You don't deserve to have a tris b'fnei apuranut. So there it's k'tris b'fnei apuranut. וכשם שאדם חוטא מדעתו וברצונו, כך הוא עושה תשובה, מדעתו וברצונו. ואפשר שיחטא אדם חטא גדול או חטאים רבים, עד שייתן הדין לפני דיין האמת, that the פיראון on this חוטא should be שמונים ממנו התשובה. ואין מניחים לו רשות לשוב מראשו, כדי שימות ויעבד בחטאו. Who Shakadosh Baruch Hu Amar Yedei Yishayo? Now dig this. Hashmein Leiva Amazet Vechenu Omer Vayihiyu Mal'ivim B'malachei Elohim ubozim devarav umeta'atim benivia ad alot chamat Hashem ba'amo ad la'in mat. That is astounding, because that's exactly what Yonah was saying. Originally, his taina was in the Mechilta. It's going to end up being a Kitruga Yisrael. How do we explain the fact that it says Beferish in the Pasuk, not like that? And that Rashi explains right here at the beginning of the fourth parak that that is not what he was saying. It's what he says himself. Why? He is talking to HaKadosh Baruch, not to Elohim. He's speaking to Midas HaRachamim, and he's speaking not even to Elohav, which we saw before. He's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ono Adonai, halo ze dvori adayoti al admati, al ken kidamti livroch tarshisha. This is what I said was going to happen. Ki adati ki ata el chanun v'rachum, erech apayim, v'rav chesed, v'nicham al hara'a. I knew this was going to happen. Now here he's not saying, I knew they were going to do teshuva and you'd use it against them. He's saying, I knew you would forgive them. What's wrong with that? So Rashi says, and of course this has brought many of the midrashim, Achshav yomru ha'akum shani navi sheker. Just like, because the Medrash says that's what happened when he said Yerushalayim was going to be destroyed, and they ended up doing tshuva, and many of the foolish Amei Aretz said that he's not a real Navi. Now the Goyim are going to say, I'm not a real Navi either. What? So what is this? How come it changes now all of a sudden? How come Rashi brings that pshat and not the pshat that he said before? But that isn't why he ran away. And yet this teshuva that it's talking about is what? The teshuva that is meant to be taken away from people who make fun of the Vim. Vayu mal'ivim, they were mal'iv mitata'im b'niviyav. Well, that's exactly what he's saying is going to happen out of this. So here, this very thing is going to be gerim to be mitata'a b'niviyav, and this is what you're accepting. That's outrageous. This is exactly the thing that is meant to be manui from truth, to prevent this degradation and this and basically defining everything downward. And yet, he had been willing to go for this originally. So why did he suddenly go back to say what it is that he was saying?